Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 67 through 80. And you can find that on page 58 of the Pew Bible if you wish to follow along. Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. And Lord, I pray that as I bring forth the message this morning from your word, that I heard your voice. And I pray that our hearts will be opened so that we may receive the message you have for each of us this day. We pray this in the name of our Savior. Amen. During this Advent season, we have concentrated on the stories of Elizabeth and Mary. Today, in our gospel reading, we hear Zechariah's prophecy. But if you look at the scripture that comes before his prophecy, we need to remember that Zechariah was not able to speak all through Elizabeth's pregnancy. The child is born, and she states that they are going to call him John, to which people say, there is no John in your family. His name should be Zechariah. But as his circumcision and the naming of him, Zechariah writes, his name shall be called John. And then his lips were open and he was able to speak. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I'm not sure what words would pour forth from my mouth after not being able to speak for numerous months. But when Zechariah is able to speak, he speaks a prophecy. He speaks a prophecy for the world, and he speaks a prophecy for his own son. He says, you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. God keeps his promises. And God had made a promise to Zechariah and Elizabeth of who their son would be. But what we need to remember is that Elizabeth and Zechariah trusted God with that promise. They dedicated their son to his service. John grows up and he becomes this great man filled with the Holy Spirit, and he does as God had commanded him to do. He prepared the way for the coming of Christ. Elizabeth and Zechariah. They had wanted a child for so long. And so when this child is born into their home, can you imagine the love that is showered upon this child? Can you imagine both of them sitting there and holding this son that has been given to him and just basking in the joy? Wouldn't it be wonderful if all children were welcomed into a home like Elizabeth and Zacharias, one filled with love and faith? Sadly, that's not the world you and I live in. We live in a world of child abuse. We live in a world where children are abused by the very people who should be loving them. Children who are abused at the hands of people they know and often trust. The statistics I was able to pull off about child abuse are from 2017. Those statistics tell us that more than 7.5 million children were abused. 7.5 million children, think about that. That number is astronomical. 1,720 of those children died. 65,000 of those children were sexually abused. I don't know about you, but when I hear those statistics, it makes me sick in my stomach. It makes me sick to think that there are people in our world, that many, who cannot know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because if they did, that abuse would not be happening. It is said that 14% of men and 36% of the women who are in prisons are people who were abused as children. I don't know about you, but for me, those numbers are not only staggering, but unfathomable. I just can't even begin to imagine anyone wanting to hurt a child. From infancy through teenagers. And it makes me question, why can't every child be raised in a home of love and faith? Why can't every child be raised in a home like Elizabeth and Zacharias? Their faith showed their child who God was. Their faith showed him who it is that you can trust. Regardless of everything else that is happening in this world, Elizabeth and Zechariah and John trusted God. They trusted God with what it was that they were to live out, and they trusted God with all the circumstances that surrounded their lives. John lived out his faith as he prepared the way for the Messiah of the world. John's ministry was to go before the Lord, giving people a foretaste of what that salvation would mean for their lives, who Jesus would be. John baptized them for the forgiveness of their sins, but he said, Jesus is the one who will come from heaven, God himself, to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Jesus didn't come so we simply individually might know that forgiveness for ourselves, although that's an important aspect of our salvation. It's important that we know that Christ came for us as individuals, that when we confess our sin to him, he is quick to forgive us of our sin. But he also came so that we who accept him as our Lord and Savior could live according to the example that he set for us. He came with an invitation to invite us to participate in that ongoing redemption and restoration of creation that would usher in the kingdom of God. Remember, we are promised a new heaven and a new earth, but we must follow the will of God. We must lead others to that hope, that joy, that peace, and that love of Jesus Christ. The final verse of Joy to the World that we sang this morning at the lighting of our Advent candle challenges us in that promise. It said, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. Today, we participated in and celebrated the baptism of Taylor Casey Morrissey. Thankful for her parents who love her and want her to be raised in that family of faith, both in their home and in the church. But my friends, there are many children who are not that lucky. Many children who never know what it means to have that love in their lives. We heard it as we heard the statistics of child abuse. But my friends, these children and all the people on earth have a Father in heaven who loves them and loves them unconditionally. One who sent his Son to die for the world. Not that the world would be condemned, but that through him they might be saved. And so if we have accepted that free gift of salvation, Christmas is a time about gifts. There's no greater gift that could be given to you and I than that gift of salvation. If you have not accepted that gift of salvation for yourself, I pray that you do so. I pray that you confess your sin and you accept him as your Lord and Savior. And I pray for all of us that we don't think that that's just a one and done deal, but that we have to go before the Lord every day, that we need to confess our sins of the day, and we need to ask him to redeem us and recreate us so that we can live into that love that he has for us. He is the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. The same one that Zechariah prophesied about. And so may it be said of you and I, sisters and brothers, that we live out our Advent faith. That we live it out by being the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. That we seek out those who don't know that love. And that we work for hope, joy, peace, and love in our families, in our communities, and in our world. And if we do that, others will identify us as the children of God. And they will want to come to know that unconditional love for themselves. And you and I are the ones who can lead them there. We are the ones who can love them unconditionally so that they will come to know that love that is for their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.